Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will sing together from Psalter 140, the stanzas 1 and 2. God, be merciful to me, on thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, O cleanse me from my sin. Psalter 140, stanzas 1 and 2. Scripture reading for this evening, you can find in the book of Psalms, Psalm 49. Imagine to you Psalm 49. But before we'll read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you Psalm 49. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious and has ceased forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approve their sayings, Selah. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. So while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in power, in honor, and understandeth not, is like the beasts that perish. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing in his presence tonight. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, triune Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast revealed thyself unto us through thy word as a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Lord, we confess that we may hear this, but as a mystery unto us. But wilt thou yet give us that faith to believe the truth, but also to see the beauty of it, that in thee, in a triune God, is complete salvation for complete lost sinners. Lord, thou hast made us perfect in thy image, and thou could look upon man, the crown jewel of creation, and thou could say it's very good. But Lord, we have left thee, as we have heard in the past weeks from thy word, never to return again. We have plunged ourselves by our own willful rebellion against thee, the highest majesty in heaven. We have plunged ourselves into misery, and the consequences of sin are numerous. Lord, we all experience in different ways, but do we know truly who we are in thy sight? Oh, may sin become our great concern, not only the consequences, but that we have sinned against thee, a good-doing God, who made us perfect and who has the right to demand of us, everyone, perfection. O wilt thou teach us then of how great evil and horrible and what wickedness sin is against thee? May we know it, each one of us personally, that I have sinned against thee, Lord, but also teach us that we are worthy of thy just punishment, of an eternal punishment because of our sins, not only our original sin that we have inherited from our covenant head Adam, but each one of us also for our own personal sins. And Lord, we ask thee then that by thy word and spirit that thou would teach us of how great of sinners we are. Give life, Lord, to truly see it, not to know it in the mind and to say it with the mouth, but to truly believe it in the heart, and that we may have that true godly sorrow, that sorrow that we sin against God. But Lord, wilt thou also teach us of that only way of salvation? Lord, thou knowest those who may have been awakened and yet are seeking a way in so many different ways, except in that only way. Lord, by nature we are so proud and we are enemies. We need thy grace to empty us, to strip us, and to teach us. There is no way from self or any creature. There's only one way, and that is through thee, through that only deliverer, that only mediator that thou hast given. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then take and make alive, but also draw to thyself and lead in that only way of salvation. Remember thy dear sheep, the little lambs, Lord. O wilt thou then teach them and reveal unto them for the first time or by renewal that precious Savior and who he is and all his benefits and all his beauties and all his riches. O Lord, wilt thou then give opening not only to speak of woe, but also to speak of well? O, we beg thee, Lord, by nature we only resist. We know the doctrines with our mind, but in our hearts we're enemies, we're foolish, we're proud. O, we beg thee, Lord, then work mightily, irresistibly. Take away all the resistance. Take away all the weapons. Conquer our hearts. Strip us of self and fill us with thyself. Lord, help them to explain also tonight the truths of what we read in the Lord's Day of deliverance, that there is no ransom in anyone, and that we need a ransom, that thy justice must be satisfied. Teach us that we cannot find it in ourselves. Teach us that we cannot find it in any other creature, and lead us and guide us and bring us to that only Savior, that only deliverer, thy dear Son. Lord, it's thy work. We beg thee then, do it for thy great name's sake. As thou hast said in thy word, I do it not for your name's sake, but for my name's sake. O, give, Lord, that we may truly plead for thy honor, for thy glory, for thy name's sake. Lord, give much prayer tonight. Give that there may be Aaron's and hers, and that thou would come among us. Visit us, Lord, in thy mercy and in thy grace, that we may go home and say it was good to be here because the Lord was among us. Lord, if thou art not with us, then it's all form and custom, and we will go home, only harder instead of broken, guilty. There will be no food. There will be no blessing. There will be no worshiping of thee, Lord. May we ask them for thy name. Thou art so worthy to be worshipped by all. Lord, we pray then open deaf ears to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, as we heard in this morning, that the sheep will hear his voice. Come with power then, and may they hear not only of law, but also of gospel, that they may learn of their sin, but also of salvation that is in thee, through the Father, through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask them to remember those especially in this flock who are yet for their own account, for those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Oh, may we beg thee, Lord, work mightily in them, give them life, speak and say live, and that they may live. May tonight be the hour of thy good pleasure, that many may be made alive. But Lord, also remember thy dear people, draw them, that they would run after thee, turn them, and they shall be turned. Lord, speak, that they may hear, that they may hear the voice of the beloved through thy word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Teach us, Lord, not only of who we are, but who thou art, through thy dear Son, that precious mediator, that only mediator, who is very man, a righteous man, but also very God. He who came as that Redeemer to pay the ransom for those who have no ransom, who came to satisfy the justice of God for those who only are worthy to be under that wrath, the justice eternally cast away. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would gather with us, give opening to preach, opening to hear, give the unction of the Spirit to preach, and bless thy word richly. Lord, remember the whole congregation, all the sick and afflicted physically, mentally, care for them, all the mourners, comfort them, Lord. And may we ask thee especially tonight to remember that tiny little baby in Iowa, Joseph Den Hood, who was born premature. He's in critical condition. Lord, look upon that little life in mercy and care for him. Remember his parents. His mother was a member here in the past. Care for them, Lord. Look upon them. Spare that life. Give help and give that thou would give wisdom to the doctors, that his life may be spared and that he may live, Lord. Our lives are in thy hands, and thou art a wonder-doing God. Lord, remember then also our nation. Lord, we have left thee in paradise, but we've also left thee as a nation. We were built upon Christian principles, but we have turned away from thee. We have left thee never to return, but also as a nation, have mercy, Lord. Bless thy word richly in our nation. Wilt thou give a revival? Give hatred for sin. Give true repentance. Give a fleeing from sin, a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, to live for thy honor, for thy glory, to live according to thy will, according to thy way in all things. And may we ask thee especially, Lord, remember that great national sin of abortion. O Lord, wilt thou bless the means that may be used, and that many may see that it's sin, that it's murder, but also the great sin also of euthanasia. Lord, give respect for life, that man was created in thy image, and that we may care for life from the moment of conception until natural death. But Lord, remember also the great sins in our nation of marriages against thy word. Thou hast instituted marriage to be between one man and one woman. Lord, have mercy upon us. We break all thy commandments. We are sinful. Our iniquities rise up against thee. Give yet that thy word may be blessed powerfully, irresistibly, richly, through this nation. Help all thy servants, Lord, give that they may speak as a mouthpiece for thee, as an ambassador, and that they may speak death in Adam and life in Christ. Lord, look upon us in mercy also individually as singles or as couples or also married and older ones. Lord, give that we may in all our lives, in whatever state we may be, that we may have a desire, that we may have the fear of the Lord in our hearts to live unto thee. Lord, we beg thee then, remember also the persecuted church. Care for them, uphold them, strengthen them, and be near to them. And may we see the great privilege and blessing that we have, that we may freely come to thy house, but may it not testify against us. Lord, bless thy word richly. May we lay before thee then also our school, Rehoboth Christian School. Lord, remember the board. Give teachers. Work mightily. Give us God-fearing teachers, but also work in the students. Give the tender fear of the Lord in the hearts of the students. Help those also who educate their children at home. Give what is needed, Lord. But Lord, above all, that we would not only be prepared to live in this world, but may we all know and see that we are born. And as we read in thy word, it's a time to be born, but also a time to die. Prepare us, Lord, by thy grace, by thy spirit, for that moment that we will be called out of this life and that we need to stand before thee. Lord, work mightily. And so, Lord, we lay these needs before thee. We deserve nothing. We only deserve thy wrath. We only deserve that thou would pass us by. But Lord, it's thy mercy that we may be together again. It's thy long-suffering patience that again thy word may be proclaimed. Lord, we ask then, wash us and cleanse us of all our many sins. Take away all the obstacles, all the hindrance in listening and in preaching. Cast out that evil one who would like to pluck at the seed and who would like to distract. We ask, Lord, for thy name's sake, for him who is sitting at thy right hand, in him in whom thou art well pleased. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 338. 338, all four stanzas. O Lord, thy perfect righteousness is in thy judgment shown. In thy unchanging faithfulness, thy truth thou hast made known. Psalter 338, all four stanzas. In the meantime, your offerings will be received. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, last week we began considering the second part of the Heidelberg Catechism, deliverance of a sinner from his sins and miseries. Remember, by nature, we're all condemned. We're all condemned. We're like a criminal sitting on death row under the sword of God's justice because of our original sin and because of all our personal actual sins. How can such a sinner be saved? How can such a sinner, worthy on death row of eternal condemnation, be saved? For a sinner to be saved from his just punishment and to be received into favor with God, the justice of God must be satisfied. A ransom price must be paid, a ransom price that satisfies God. Remember question 12 in Lord's Day 5? Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there no way by which we escape that punishment and again be received into favor? Remember, in this question, there's a different tone compared to what we read in the last Lord's Day. Before, the question was, is God not unjust to demand what man is incapable to perform? Now we hear a confession of a righteous judgment and of deserving punishment. We hear of a surrendering to God's justice and a confession as the criminal on the cross. Remember what he said? Children, teenagers, remember what we read in Luke 23, verse 41? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. In question 12, what do we hear? We hear of two things, a way of escape from the just punishment, but also a way to receive, to again be received in favor with God. Those in whom God works don't only want to escape punishment, but they also want God's favor. They want him to smile upon them. They want communion with the Lord. And what was the answer to the question? To question 12, God will have his justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. Is that a correct answer? Is that a caring answer? Is that a wise answer? Is that a good answer? Yes. A wrong answer would be to answer and say, there is no way. That would be wrong. But this answer is correct. It's good. It's wise. It's loving and caring. Why? Because it proclaims the only way. It points the sinner in the only way, not in a way, but to the only way. Escape from eternal punishment and to receive God's favor is only by God's justice being satisfied. Guilty sinners must be punished. Guilty sinners must pay. They must pay a ransom price that satisfies God. The purpose of this answer is to bring that sinner, to bring sinners in that only way. It's a wise, it's a good answer. Its purpose is to make room in the hearts for another, not for self, but for another. So how is a sinner delivered? By God's grace, they come to surrender. They become guilty, lost. They become lost before God's justice, worthy of condemnation. But also by God's justice being satisfied. And so if the only way to be delivered and to receive favor is by God's justice being satisfied, another question arises in the heart. Maybe that's your question. It was in the heart of Job, as we read in Job 25, verse 4. How then can man be justified with God? What is the way that God's justice can be satisfied? A sinner begins to search for a way to be delivered from God's justice, in a way that God's justice is satisfied. But where? Where does he search? Where does that sinner in the catechism, where does he begin to search? Remember the answer he received? God will have his justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. Does he ask now? Please tell me, who's the another? Who's the another? What's the way? I want to know. Does he ask what is the only way that God's justice can be satisfied? He doesn't. He still has a few more hopes. He still has a few different things, you could say, of a way to escape. He still has some obstacles. No obstacles from God's side, but obstacles in his own heart, because of his pride, because of his wickedness. And these hopes, these other ways, they all need to be taken away. They all need to be cut off so that he comes to that place for the only way, for that another. My friend, are you lost? Are you guilty? Have you surrendered like this criminal? Have you confessed as him? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our sins? But what else did this criminal do? He did only confess that. What did he do? Well, look, you can see his head turning, maybe on the cross, and he looks to him who's in the middle. He prays to him who's in the middle. He prays to Jesus Christ. He prays to him who's the way, the truth, and the life. He prays to him who's the only ransom for satisfying the justice of God. And he prays to him, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Why did that dying criminal pray to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he was his only hope. He had no more hope in self. He had no more hope in anything. And there's two criminals beside the Lord Jesus hanging on the cross. May I ask you, which one do you resemble? That one is still dead in sins and trespasses. The other one, by God's grace, has been made alive. He's become a hell-worthy sinner. But he also became a beggar, and he cries, he prays to him who can only deliver him. Which one is a picture of you, my friend? But may I ask you another question? Are you like him? Are you praying, searching, looking to only that only meter for the only way of deliverance, for that only way to be redeemed and to be received in favor? Or are you still looking in self or other ways? This man in the Heidelberg Catechism, he has some more questions. And what a work God must do in a sinner to bring to an absolute dead end, so that the Lord Jesus Christ is not only a helper, that is not only a partial savior, but that he's everything, he's life, that he's a complete savior. That the sinner becomes lost, guilty, hell-worthy, but also bankrupt. He has no more hope in anything, in self, in anyone else, but only in another. In Psalm 49, we read and heard about redemption. That a soul needs to be redeemed. Congregation, your soul needs to be redeemed. But to be redeemed, there needs to be a ransom price. And who has a ransom price? A ransom price in the Bible speaks about a price that was given to satisfy God's infinite justice. And so in the Heidelberg Catechism, this man, he has some more questions. He has some more questions. He doesn't ask immediately about another. No. And so we come in Lord's Day 5, questions, answers, 13, 14, and 15, which we will consider tonight. You can find them in the back of your Psalters, page 31 and 32. Lord's Day 5, question and answers 13, 14, and 15. Question 13, can we ourselves then make the satisfaction? By no means, but on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Question and answer 14, can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? None. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man hath committed. And further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against us so as to deliver others from it. And then question 15 in answer, what sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? The answer, for one who is very man and perfectly righteous and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is very God. So the theme for tonight is deliverance by the satisfaction of God's justice. Deliverance by satisfaction of God's justice. How can God's justice be satisfied? What's the ransom price? This man has three questions, and that's our points tonight. The first one is in ourselves. Can we make the satisfaction in ourselves? Question and answer 13. The second point, in a creature. Can there be satisfaction? Can a creature satisfy the justice of God? Question and answer 14. Or the last question, by whom then? By whom then? Question and answer 15. So, deliverance by satisfaction of God's justice. How? How can God's justice be satisfied? In ourselves? By a creature? By whom then? Congregation, where can satisfaction of God's justice be found? Where can we find our most necessary, needed, urgent ransom price? Question 13, can we ourselves make this satisfaction? This refers to the answer of question 12. God will have his justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. My friend, can we satisfy God's justice? Can you? Can I? This is a searching question, congregation. Can you? What's your experience? Or don't you even think about it? Don't you even need it? You don't even think about it. Yeah, you know you're guilty. You know God is holy, but there's no need. There's no searching. There's no need in your heart. How do many reply? Let's start slowly today. How do many reply? Many reply, yes. Ask a Pharisee. A Pharisee thinks he can satisfy the justice of God by his good works, by his works of self-righteousness. But what does the Lord say to all Pharisees? What does the Lord Jesus say in Matthew 5, verse 20? For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Pharisees, you will not enter by your own righteousness. That will not satisfy. That is not a ransom. Let's ask the rich young ruler. He thought he could be just with God. He thought he could keep the law. But what did the Lord Jesus say to him? And how did he answer? The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He didn't see that he was bankrupt. He was rich in himself. Jesus showed his sin by pointing to his money, his idol. And so man without the light of the Holy Spirit thinks he's good, thinks he can keep the law, thinks he can satisfy the justice of God, thinks he can inherit eternal life. The man of heart The heart of man by nature is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Congregation, can we ourselves make satisfaction? Can we satisfy the justice of God? Can we pay the ransom? Man, by self, by nature, doesn't know himself, and he does not know God. Spiritually dead sinners do not have the correct answer. But what about someone who's awakened? Maybe with the common convictions. Well, what does a man do with the common conviction? What will they do? They will try to hide themselves. They will try one way or another way to quiet the conscience. And then they begin to work by the law, and maybe then they start to feel good and they become smug with themselves. But their foundation is all a false foundation. It's all in self, on their own works. Their foundation is not on the another. It's not on Christ. They need to be awakened before they forever perish. Can we pay, congregation? Can you pay? You must pay. God must be paid. Justice must be made. Satisfaction. He must be satisfied. His justice. What's the biblical answer? What's the correct answer? Children, older ones. My friend, can I ask you again? Can you satisfy God's justice? What's your experience? May I ask you? What's your experience? What is the experience of a soul in the school of God's grace? What is the answer of those who have been taught by the Holy Spirit made alive? Let's ask a couple of them tonight. Let's ask children of God from the Bible. Let's ask Job. Job, can you satisfy the justice of God? What's Job's answer? Job confessed, "I am vile." And he said in Job 9, verse 2 and 3, "But how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand." What would Job's answer be? "No, I cannot satisfy the justice of God." Let's ask another man. Let's ask the prophet Micah. Micah, can you satisfy the justice of God? Listen to what Micah answers in Micah 6, verse 7. "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Or shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" Would that satisfy God? Giving your firstborn rivers of oil, thousands of rams? Micah, what's the answer? Micah, what's your experience? His answer would be, "No, no, that won't satisfy the justice of God." Let's ask one more man, a man after God's own heart. Let's ask David. David, can you be just with God? David, you who committed adultery. David, you who murdered a man. David, you who fell in deep sin. Can you satisfy the justice of God? Can you pay a ransom, David? What was David's answer? What we read in Psalm 143, verse 2, "And enter not into judgment with thy servant." Why? "For in thy sight shall no man living be justified." The answer of David, a man after God's own heart, is no. But what's your answer? What's my answer? Can we make satisfaction ourselves? And suppose a man could. Did you hear? I said, suppose a man could. Then why did the Lord Jesus Christ need to come? Why did God need to give his only beloved Son to come to this world to be the Redeemer, to pay the price? No sinner, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no good confessing member of the NRC or of any other church can make satisfaction. It is impossible. How does the man answer this question? Does he say, "Try"? Does he say, "Possibly"? Does he say, "Hopefully"? What's the answer? How does he answer? By no means. exclamation mark. It's absolutely impossible. And this is what the Holy Spirit teaches sinners. He teaches them of their sin. He teaches them of their flesh that clings to them, and that they're only prone to evil, which clings to them, and that they cannot keep the law and are only worthy of wrath, and that they cannot satisfy the justice of God, because what do they learn? They have nothing to pay. They only have sin. And he knows that he must die, and that he must appear before that holy, just God, a God who is just, holy, and who demands payment, and who will by no means clear the guilty. The sinner, with the saving work of the Holy Spirit, loves the Lord. He hates sin, and he desires and he tries to live holy. He desires to live a perfect life, but what's his experience? What does he learn? Does he learn that he becomes a good Christian and that he has money and he has more money and more money? No, he becomes more broke. He becomes filthy. He becomes wretched. And he doesn't only learn that he cannot satisfy the justice of God, but on the contrary, his debt even continually increases. Now, children, imagine. Imagine if you had to ask your mom or your dad for a little bit of money, and you had to pay it back. But every day, you have no money, and yet you need more money, and you need to keep asking your mom for more money and more money, and it becomes impossible. You cannot pay, because your debt only becomes greater. That's a child of God. That's those with God's grace. All our debts become greater, but they see it, they feel it, and they know it by the work of the Holy Spirit. They become bankrupt. It becomes impossible. Impossible. My friend, do you know these truths experientially? Not here, but do you know it here? What is your personal answer to the question? Can we ourselves satisfy the justice of God? And if you quietly in your heart are saying, yes, I must tell you tonight, I'm afraid, I must tell you that you do not have God's grace. God's grace leads to a sinner to confess, by no means. On the contrary, I only increase my debts. Sinners by God's grace become guilty and bankrupt before the bar of God's justice. They become poor in spirit, as Jesus Christ said. So can we ourselves make satisfaction? By no means, but on the contrary, we daily increase our debt, and we do daily forgiveness of our sins. My friend, may I ask you something? Are you guilty? Are you bankrupt? And is there a creditor knocking on your door? You say, what do I mean? Are you guilty? And is the Lord saying, pay me what thou owest? And are you looking? Are you looking for something here, something in your motions, something in your prayers, something in your zeal, something in your good works, but do you find it's all nothing? It's all filthy? Before you thought maybe you could move the Lord with this, maybe you could move the Lord with this, but now you see it's all filthy, imperfect. Are you still trying to find in yourself satisfaction? Are you? I pray tonight that by the power of the Holy Spirit that you become lost, but also bankrupt, and that you surrender, but also that you do not try to find it anymore in self, that it becomes absolutely hopeless, but that there comes a question for another. I need a ransom price, and I don't have it. I need to pay, I need to be redeemed, but I don't have it. Where is it? The Holy Spirit, he leads sinners, as we read in the Heidelberg Catechism, to a place where it's not only under the just judgment that justice needs to be satisfied, but that it becomes hopeless in self. hopeless in self. Why? Why does the Lord need to teach this? You say, why all these steps? Why all these details? Just believe. You may believe. You must believe. But in the reality, we don't. We need to be brought. We need to be drawn. We need to be cut off. That the Lord Jesus Christ, he becomes everything. That he becomes precious as that only mediator. And so we come to the end of our first thoughts. It becomes impossible. By no means. Well, now he'll ask. Now this man will ask. In that answer that he received, satisfaction by ourselves or by another. Now he'll ask. Another? No, he has another question. He has another question. And that is our second thoughts. In congregation, I must say that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is ready and willing to receive the vilest of sinners. But we are so proud, so foolish, by nature only enemies, and after grace, we need to be stripped and empty, made bankrupt, so that we would flee to him as the only Savior. And this man, he stopped. It's impossible. Impossible with self. But then he has another question. Where can satisfaction of God's justice be found? Because deliverance is only by the satisfaction of God's justice. And so he has another question. Okay, in a creature then? In a creature? For himself it's become impossible. But maybe a creature. A creature. Another creature. Can another creature satisfy the justice of God? This man is convict of his personal inability. But he doesn't flee to that only Savior yet. He has another question, as we read in the Heidelberg Catechism number 14. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? Can a creature satisfy for man? Is that a substitute? Can we suggest maybe to the Lord another substitute? A substitute? Man is guilty. And a creature would be a substitute for sinful man. Sinful man paid, and man, sinful man sinned, and sinful man must pay. What is a creature, children? Who's a creature? That's an angel? That's a human? Or an animal? They're all created. They're all creatures. They've all been created by God. What creature would be able to satisfy the justice of God? Can an animal? Can an animal? We look in the Old Testament. How many animals were slain? How much blood was poured out from those altars as a sacrifice to God? Thousands and thousands. You could say there was a river of blood of the animals. Was God's justice satisfied? No. No. We read in Hebrews 10 verse 4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins." The blood of animals is not a ransom price to satisfy the justice of God. Can a human being be a substitute? A human being who was created, can he be a substitute for another human? Could your father, your mother, could your brother, your sister, could a God-fearing grandpa be a substitute for you or for me? No. They need a personal redeemer themselves. They have nothing. But listen to what Ezekiel writes in chapter 18, verse 20. "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Well, what about an angel? What about a holy being, an angel? Can an angel make satisfaction? Could he be a substitute? No. Why? Because God will not punish another creature for the sin which man committed. An angel cannot be the mediator. He cannot be the substitute for man. Can there be found anywhere one who is mere creature able to satisfy us? No. No man, no angel, no animal can make satisfaction for sinful man. No hope for another creature. But there's something else connected here. How did man sin? Man sinned voluntarily. Voluntarily. And satisfaction also needs to be made voluntarily. It needs to be made voluntarily by another. What creature would be willing to take the place of sinful man to experience the full wrath of God? No animal, no angel, no other man. None. Because who of them, of any man, any angel, or any animal could satisfy the infinite justice of God? God's justice is infinite, his wrath is infinite, and he needs an infinite payment. That ransom must be infinite to satisfy a holy, infinite, just God. So no creature, no angel, no animal, no other man. God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man committed. And further, no mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. And so this man, asking this question, it's not in himself, it's not in any other creature, it's not in an angel, it's not in an animal. Yeah? In none. And in Tereha, there's many Catholics, and they think Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, can help them. Can the mother of Jesus Christ? No, they cannot. He's not, she's not a substitute. No. Can the Pope? They believe the Pope can forgive sins. No, not the Pope either. No man. No man. No Pope. No minister. No reverend. No elder. No deacon. None. No missionary. None. Why? Because we are all sinful. And we all need that personal redeemer ourselves. We have nothing to pay for ourselves. And how can we pay for anyone else? The poet in Psalm 49 verse 7 wrote, "None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him." No creature can pay. And no creature can bear the full wrath of God, the infinite wrath of God. And so for man to escape that well-deserved punishment and to be received again into favor with God, the justice of God must be satisfied. That doesn't change. That doesn't move because there's none in us or no creature. That bar is not lowered. No, it stays the same. My friend, have you experienced that you cannot satisfy God's justice and it must be satisfied? And by, on the contrary, your debt only increases every day, a little more, and it becomes more impossible and more impossible and absolutely impossible. All hope of deliverance from your side becomes absolutely cut off. What lessons you and I need to learn so that in our hearts are room for that another, for that only Savior. No hope in self, in nothing, no hope in any other creature. But now this man, he has another question. And maybe you have a question. Is there hope then? Is there hope if there's no hope in self, in any other creature, in any angel, any animal, in nothing? Is there hope yet? Not for man. But there is hope, congregation, from God. Hope in another. Before we go to our last thought, let us first sing from Psalter 135, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. 135, 1 and 2, 4 and 5. Hear this, all ye people here, earth's inhabitants, give ear. All of high and low degree, rich and poor, give heed to me. 135, 1, 2, 4, and 5. Congregation, the only way to escape well-deserved punishment and to again be received into favor with God is God's justice must be satisfied. A ransom price must be paid. And we heard, it's not in ourselves. It's not in any creature. But then comes the question, a beautiful question. By whom then? Only possible by a mediator. This man asking the question has come completely stuck. Completely without hope in anything, in himself, any other creature. He cannot pay. He cannot pay for himself. He cannot pay for anyone else. And payment must be made. God's justice must be satisfied. And he's learned in himself no hope and no one else. And now a question. Question 15. What sort of a mediator to deliver then must we seek for? But may I change the question? Personal? Is it yours? What sort of a mediator and deliver then must I seek for? Is that your question? Who must I seek for? Where's the ransom price? Is that you, stuck, bankrupt, lost? What's the way? What's the only way? I heard about another, but who is that another? Who is the another? Now that he's hopeless in everything, he asks, he wants to know, what way then? Who's the mediator? Who's the another? I heard there's another, I want to know. Because I have nothing in any other way. Nothing. A way. I have a debt owing. And God's justice must be satisfied. This man now becomes desperate in his desperate situation as a bankrupt, lost sinner before the justice of God. It's not only that he understands it, but he's learned it. It becomes real. It becomes his experience. It becomes a personal, real need in his heart, in his soul. He needs another. And this is what the Holy Spirit does in the heart of a sinner. He makes room, cutting here, cutting there, closing this door, closing that door. Why? To show that only way, through that only door, him, that only Savior. How? By teaching the immovable, infinite justice of God. Teaching them of their guilt. Teaching them of their lostness, of their absolutely impossibility. Because then, in that heart of that sinner, comes the same question. Who is the ransom? Who has the ransom? I need a ransom. Christianity, congregation, is not an education. We can study books. It's good. Read them. But it's not an education. It's a real living experience of being lost and needing a deliverer, searching, searching, and searching, and yet, by God's way, being brought, drawn to that only one, that Savior, Jesus Christ. Now comes a cry out of the depth of this man's heart. What sort of a mediator and deliverer then must we seek for? Is this you tonight? I hope so. I hope there's many in the same state that as we've come through these catechisms, that it's your real experience, that you're cut off, lost. Do you long? Not only to escape the well-deserved punishment, and that it's just, and you say, amen. It would be only just if the Lord would cast me away forever, but I long. I want to have his favor, a little smile, a little token. I want his love. Not only to escape, because I can escape, but that doesn't satisfy the heart. They want a smile. They want a favor. They want a kiss. They want love. They want to be embraced. My friend, is that you? Is that you tonight? Do you feel the necessity to pay, but you have nothing? Has the impossibility from your side and the absolute necessity brought you to a place where you are also in your heart and your life are seeking for another, seeking for a mediator, seeking for a deliverer, for a savior? Listen to the answer. Did he say, no, there's no way? Did he say, no, there's no one? No, he gives him the right answer. Listen, for one who is very man, perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is also very God. Who must the deliverer be? He must be man. He must be a righteous man, and he must be man and God. These are the requirements for the mediator, for the deliverer, for such bankrupt sinners. Can we find such a mediator? Can we find one man, one woman, one boy, one girl who is righteous? There's none righteous. There's not one. Can we find one who is also very God? No, you say that's impossible. Exactly. It's impossible from our side. It's impossible from any of us or from anything of the world. Deliverance comes from God. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is a wonder. It's all given by God. He, in his infinite wisdom, has thought a way in eternity. Because there was a question. He had a people he loved, and he wanted to have them among his people, but he saw them lost, ruined, bankrupt, and had nothing to pay. How can I put them among my people? And he thought of a way where he could be just and the justifier of the ungodly. No, not good sinners, but ungodly ones. Through him, the deliverer, the mediator, the one who's going to come to this earth and has come, whose very man, flesh of our flesh, who had a body and a soul, who came and who was a perfect man, but who was also very God. Salvation is of the Lord, because it will be all to the glory of God. And so it's all about him, in him, through him, and to him. What's a mediator? Children, older ones, what's a mediator? A mediator is one who brings two opposing parties together back into a reconciled relationship. For example, if there's two men, one borrowed money from another man, so you have the borrower and the creditor, and the borrower must pay back the creditor, but he has nothing, he's completely broke, and so that creditor is very unhappy. You need to pay. And if you don't pay, I want nothing to do with you. I have the right to demand that you pay. And so these two are not in a right relationship. They're separated. There's a great debt, and there's no money. And the creditor says, pay, and he says, I can't. But then there's another man. There's a rich man. He hears about this. And he comes, and he says, how much does that man owe you? He owes me so much. And he takes out his wallet and he pays exactly for that other man, exactly his debt. And that creditor is now satisfied. And those two are brought again in a relationship. But now in spiritual life, congregation, may I say it this way? Who are those two opposing parties? Those two opposing that are a great separation. It's with a holy, infinite God, a God who must be paid, and a sinner, a wretch who has absolutely nothing, who's broke, and he has the right to say pay, and he can only say I have nothing. But a mediator comes. He comes, that mediator, one who's very man, a very righteous man, and very God. He came. And I may already say it, even though it's not in this Heidelberg Catechism. Jesus Christ, he's that mediator. He came. He paid exactly what those wretched sinners need to pay. And he paid a price exactly to satisfy that infinite justice of God. He lived perfectly, obeying the law for transgressors. And he gave himself as a ransom to redeem those sheep that lay lost and condemned with nothing to pay. He is the only way. He's the another, congregation. He's the only way. He's the truth and the life. He's the way back to God. He's the only way that through him, God and sinners can be reconciled, because through him, mercy and justice have kissed each other. All the attributes between him are all reconciled. They're all perfected. They're all glorified. He opened the way that only mediator. But may I ask you now another personal question? Is there a need in your own life, in your own heart, in your own soul for a deliverer, for a mediator to reconcile you, a guilty, lost, hell-worthy sinner with nothing but filthy rags, to reconcile you with a holy, infinite, just God? Jesus Christ, he is the only mediator. We read in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." And he's that unspeakable gift of God. What a wonder that God gives the ransom price. God gives the Redeemer for those, the redemption for those who have nothing, who have nothing. What is salvation? What is salvation? What is it to be saved? What does that word mean? What does it mean? It means to take out of the lowest, wretched depth of the pit of horrible iniquity and to lift up, to deliver, and to bring to the highest, greatest glory, unspeakable, from the wrath to love, to be deserving to be cast away, to be entering into the eternal glory forever with communion. That's salvation. And my congregation, you must be saved. You must be delivered for it to be well for your never dying soul. And I may point you already this night to that only one, to that only Savior, to that Savior Jesus Christ. Because we read in Job, remember, what did it say? Deliver him from going down to the pit. Is that your experience? I only deserve to be cast into the pit because of my sin, because of my iniquities. And I don't get better, I get worse. And my debt is greater and greater, and I have no ransom. We read, deliver him from going down to the pit. How can that be said? How can that be said to a holy, infinite, just God? Deliver him, that sinner, from going down to the pit? Because I have found a ransom. I have found a ransom. Where? Not in any man, but in him, the one who is very man, a very righteous man, and God. He came, he paid the ransom. There's a ransom, congregation, not in yourself, not in any other creature, and no angel, no man, no animal. It's only in him, that only name, the precious Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, do you need to be delivered? I hope you heard it. I hope you heard the way. It's only through him, the Redeemer, him who is the ransom, who paid the ransom with his blood. He paid it. He satisfied the wrath of God. And that is the way that sinners, hell-worthy sinners, can escape that well-deserved eternal wrath and punishment and again be received, not only tasting it now already, but to experience it forever and forever, forever in the favor of God. God looking upon them and smiling, "My beloved people." And what will they answer? "Oh, he is altogether lovely. He is the chiefest among 10,000. He's fairer, he's precious, he's glorious." And it will take an eternity, a never-ending eternity, to praise and to glorify him, because there will be no end. And he is worthy. What a wonder-doing God for absolute wretches. Congregation, that mediator says, "Seek me. Seek me while I may be found." When is it? Now, in the time of grace. Listen, he has a word. and we'll end with his word. Proverbs 8, verse 31. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, may we ask thee to richly, powerfully, irresistibly bless thy word. Bring sinners to their guilt. Bring sinners to become lost, guilty. Bring sinners that they become absolutely bankrupt. Strip sinners of everything, Lord, by thy word and by thy spirit. And lead them and guide them and reveal unto him thy dear Son, that only deliver, that only meter. Oh, may there be urgency that we may be seeking him. And thou hast promised that those that seek thee with their whole heart shall find thee. Oh, Lord, may we beg thee then, make us such seekers by thy grace, and may such seekers become finders and rejoice in thee and in thy salvation. Lord, may we take thy word with us. May we meditate it upon it in this week. Care for us all. Help the elders in this coming Lord's Day to lead the services. Help us also where we will be in Franklin Lakes. And may we again be brought together on prayer day in thy house. Lord, bless the means of grace, the preaching, but also thy word in our homes. May thy kingdom come here. Also in Cortland, may many sinners by thy grace be redeemed by that precious Redeemer, him who paid the ransom, who satisfied thy justice. Lord, we plead upon him for his name's sake, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 235, all three stanzas. Lord, my petition heed, now help me in my need. My Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord, my trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford, I cry to thee. 235, all three stanzas. congregation receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.